Welcome to Showing Up Solo with Hannah and Nicole, your guides to navigating online marketing for your business. Welcome, everybody. We have Meg Kelvin joining us today. She is an Amazon best-selling author, speaker, and coach for spiritually attuned go-getters who are writing, selling, and marketing books. Thanks for joining us, Meg.
Thank you for the invitation, Nicole and Hannah. I'm super stoked to be here and talk about this really fun subject of writing, marketing, and selling the book idea within you.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and possibly why our followers would consider writing a book?
Yeah. It's a really exciting time to write a book. If you are a solopreneur, a coach, if you have online content, whether that's courses, or you have a workshop or a one-on-one, your one-on-one coaching sessions or a keynote that you want to morph into a book, it's a really unique time. I'm going to get to that first in a second. First, I'll answer the first question, which was tell you about myself. I've always loved the brain and how the brain operates, how we retain information, how we create information, all of it. So I went to school to study that and study curriculum writing. And then I served in the nonprofit world for 15 years, which was amazing. Loved it so much. My first book got picked up in 2017. And that, as it usually does, expands one's network and open the doors for coaching and speaking at conferences. And I began to notice in my coaching, I noticed that because I was in the church world, the religious nonprofit world, I noticed that there were lots of people that had amazing book ideas, but their limiting beliefs, most of them coming from religion, were holding them back. Limiting beliefs that marketing was slimy and egotistical and manipulative. Limiting beliefs around their talent. Limiting beliefs around joy and pleasure, that it would be sinful of me to write a book for the joy and pleasure of it. And around money, like there was lots of money blocks. So I began to sit with that and observe that, and it really broke my heart that the most healing and effective and positive books might never come to be because the person writing them has come from a religious background and has so many limiting beliefs because of their religion. So since then I began once my first book got picked up, I was basically told, like everyone is told, good job, your book got picked up. It doesn't mean anything if you can't market it. So that was 2017. I threw myself into all the courses I could find. I hired an amazing coach and I learned, I became a master of organic social media marketing and used those techniques to get my second book to bestseller on Amazon and then began coaching other people in writing, marketing, and selling their book. And of course, my niche, my ideal client, that it expanded, which is wonderful. So, I mean, it would have been wonderful. It would have just stayed ministers as it was at first. But now I define spiritually attuned go-getter as someone that has a high frequency of service to others, someone that believes ambition is holy and good, which is a huge block. When someone gets over that, they are unstoppable. When they're like, oh, I can celebrate my ambition. Yay. And then the third way I describe my audience is whether they are dabbling in Buddhism, like one of my clients, or they're Fire and Brimstone Baptist, or they're an atheist, they acknowledge that when we create, whether it's a book, a reel, whether it's a course, whenever we are creating, there's something otherworldly about that process. There's something divine. There's something bigger than us. So that's my target audience. And now it has expanded in the past 2 years to not only counselors and pastors, but also to professional photographers and other coaches like myself, to executive level coaches. And then I have clients that they have a day job, they're a teacher or a cable guy in the day and they write at night. And so it's totally a side hustle for them. So that is how I got to where and how I serve. And I tacked on another answer of who I serve. Yeah.
That's okay. It sounds fascinating. Like even me, I, what I was thinking about you coming on to the show, in my head, I was like, if I was to write a book, what would that book be? And it sounds really interesting. I guess like the first instinct I have as like a service provider who has my own business, I'm also a mom, so I have kids to factor into everything, is like, why would I write a book when I've got so much to do? Or like, mm-hmm. is it not too much extra work to write a mm-hmm. book? So I'd love to know, because I'm sure you get that question all the time. So I'd love to know, and I think our listeners would love to know, is why should they think about writing a book? And is it not going to be like, is it going to be way more work for them? Or like, how can they fit it into their already busy lives?
Yeah. Yeah. You are exactly right. That question comes up a lot. And the first answer that I think is the most important one, as you both know, in the game of entrepreneurship, is there's lots of different ways to do it right. For example, I've been told to do evergreen courses forever. And it feels life sucking to me. I don't want to do it. I want to keep doing just one-on-one coaching. So I don't do it, even though it's a great way to make passive income. And a lot of my coach friends love it, but it's not calling to me. It's not a win for me. So if someone isn't having a whisper to make their course into a book or use their book as a lead magnet or write a fable. I've had one of my clients wrote a fable. He's a business coach, but he felt a fable about leadership coming out of him. So he honored that, but he felt a nudge. If you're not feeling a nudge, then no, you don't have to do it. There is interesting, and I wouldn't force you, but obviously I wouldn't force anyone. You must write a book. there is something unique happening right now in our society that is pretty cool. And it is great encouragement if a coach, if a course creator, if a content creator is feeling a nudge to write a book. The biggest encouragement is we're experiencing this wonderful shift right now from the age of information to the age of intuition. And so what that means is while you and I could get information from our toilet on Wikipedia, like we're content coming out the ears. We don't want content anymore. We want a relationship. And the modern day currency in this new age is respect and trust. So no one's going to want to pay for your courses or pay to come see you at a workshop or pay for anything you're offering until they respect you, until they trust you, until you seem relatable. So a book makes your relationship with them. It takes it outside of their cell phones. They can leave your book on their shotgun seat. Do you guys call it shotgun in Canada? The seat next to driver's seat?
Yeah.
Okay. Essentially, yes. Like we'll call shotgun. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool, cool. So yeah, they're most of the time, my favorite books I carry with me to my daughter's swim lesson, and they'll be sitting with me in shotgun. They'll be on my bedside table. They'll be on my coffee table. And it connects your followers to you outside of social media. They have that touch point to you, that human touch point, that whenever they have a question or a quandary around the subject matter that you teach, your book that has a life with them outside of the internet is going to bring them back to you on the internet. So it's a great human connection point outside of the internet, if and only if you're feeling called to do it, you're feeling a nudge to do it, because you could obviously have a very successful business without it.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people too that use the what are the internet readers, like the digital readers, so they don't even necessarily purchase the Kindles so they also have access to the internet. So it's like getting that information and that connection from you from the Kindle, and then having the opportunity to kind of dive deeper through it as well by connecting you in other places, which is you kind of get the best of both worlds, essentially.
Yes.
What you say about the physical book as well, because I'm dyslexic and I hate reading on computers. It's not comfortable. I think a lot of dyslexics will agree with it. The way screens and words, it's not a comfortable thing. With a book,
that makes sense.
I still find reading when I'm tired really difficult, but I prefer a book because it's just generally when the paper's a little more yellow, there's less contrast. Anyway,
that makes sense.
But I enjoy having a book to read. It feels like a little bit more comfortable. So having information that's like being marketed to off of the computer, giving content to read off the computer, I think that is, and it's not something I'd ever considered as a positive. And also like you were saying, with having that book nearby, it's like, we always talk about, you need a certain number of touch points to win someone over. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, like that one item is doing multiple touch points for you. Cause every time they glance at it, that's a touch point. So it's actually, I'd never thought of it that way, but it's a really cool way to continually like remind people, keep you front of mind.
Well, there's something intimate about like a physical book, you know, like when you get to a certain page and you mark it somehow, and like, there's something intimate about that process. Like as you like progress through the book, I can't explain it any better than that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And especially if you bought the book of someone that you've been following on Instagram or on YouTube and you know what their voice sounds like, that even takes the book to the whole other level. Cause you're having literally, it feels like you're having a conversation with them right before you go to sleep at night. Like that's, and the other cool thing is you can craft, there's so many ways that coaches and solopreneurs and content creators can craft their books. Mm-hmm. One really fun way is to do it similar to a free training or an online webinar. I know that phase that might be outdated to some. Usually, you know, when you do an online training, you want to present one way to do it. You want to present I always confuse these. You want to present the why you need their product and the what it is that they need to get the result they want. But the how is going to come later in the offer at the end. That annoys some people. They're like, you invited me to this free training, then you made an offer. How dare you? You could craft a book in the same way, which I've done with some coaches, is the book covers the why they need the life that they, why they desire, why they need the product the coach is offering, and the what exactly it is, but the how. And we'll write the book in a way that leads them to the offer page at the end. It is a mag, it's a lead to get the how to go deeper. I'd love to connect with you. Here's my offer for my course or my offer for my one-on-one. And so that's pretty cool too, to use that same format as you would in an online training into making it into a readable, relatable, retainable book. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think you've given lots of great reasons for why you should write a book. I guess then the question is, like you said, marketing is the key thing, right? Your book is only as good as your marketing. So where do you begin? Like, let's say, okay, you've got your book idea, you've written it. Now what?
Yeah, I have three tips that will make marketing your book more fun and less frustrating. Would you like me to share those three tips? And I'll pause in between each for conversation, and I won't be a vomiting encyclopedia.
Oh, I think we'd love that, wouldn't we, Nicole?
Yeah, 100%.
Not vomiting encyclopedia, yes. But the three tips.
Yeah.
You can keep the vomit to yourself.
I mean, yes. If we had enough time, you could, but we're
yes. Just... Totally, yes, yes. Yeah, so the first tip that comes to mind is to be nice to yourself and give yourself grace and know that as you ship your content, so you will learn. And so just get to shipping content. You're like, well, Meg, that's not really helpful. What kind of content do I ship? Keep the focus on your ideal, on who you're serving. If you don't know who your ideal reader is yet, write to yourself 5 to 7 years ago. And so focus on, instead of showing up, focusing on all that you're doing. Change the wording always to something that will serve, that's about your client, your ideal reader, and about the results that your book is going to get them. So focus on those two things. And I know that is oversimplifying a lot, but that's the first tip. It's kind of one and two tips. As you ship, so you will learn. And then so giving yourself just to get started and to learn and focus on posts about your client's needs, fears, their pillow talk, what keeps them up at night. Focusing on them and the results that you want to get them with your book, and not about yourself in a sense. And what's beautiful about that, as you know, because you guys are professionals, when you switch that the perspective of marketing to that, it's impossible for it to feel prideful or narcissistic, because the best marketing isn't about me as a coach. Mm-hmm. It's about my clients and my ideal readers. Okay, I'll pause.
That's so true. So no, I was just gonna say, I agree. Like you said, yeah. I would agree. It's so true. A lot of people get stuck in the me and, and especially because a lot of our audience are service providers, your marketing should always be about your ideal client. And it helps if you think of one person, like you're trying to help one person and you're talking to them about their problems and like what's in it for them. Mm-hmm. And really you, you're not, it's not about you at all. It's almost like you're the product and you're trying to help them see how their life will feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're essentially the vehicle to help them go from one place to the next. But if you're talking about yourself too much, you've lost that potential lead because they don't want to know about you. They want to know about how you can help them.
Oh, I love that imagery of a vehicle. There's so much there because in that imagery, you're not necessarily even saying you're in the driver's seat, but you're holding space for them. It's a partnership. Yep. Yeah. And depending on what kind of work you do. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You're not even the driver. That. You're literally just the space. You're not a tour guide. You're not the driver. You're holding the space to get them there.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's so, it reminds me of this way that coaching versus therapy versus mentorship has been described before, which is also a car analogy, which is in therapy, the therapist is in the front seat. Am I getting this right? No. Oh, you can do this, Meg. Let me take it backwards. A coach is in shotgun. The client is driving and the coach is totally focusing forward. And occasionally, if there's a Bigfoot chasing you in the rearview mirror, the coach, a good coach, will say, "Hey, here, did you notice there's a limiting subconscious belief here that's chasing you about showing up too flirty on a reel? And that means you can't work with male clients. Did you notice that Bigfoot? I didn't notice that Bigfoot. Let's dive into that." So that's a coach. A mentor has the map and is saying, I went to Vegas. I'm going to take you to Vegas. So you drive, here's the exact map to take. Some people are like, that's not a mentor. But to me, the difference makes sense. And then is the therapist in the back seat while you're in the driver's seat? Or is the therapist in the driver's seat and you're in the back seat laying down, just sharing? I can't really remember.
Essentially the therapist should not be in the driver's seat.
No. In the back seat.
Yes.
Observing where you take them.
Oh, yes. That there it is. Yes.
Yeah.
That makes much more sense. Yes. Yeah. That was really helpful. And all three have a role to play. Yeah. Okay. So get back on topic, Meg. Tip number two, and this is a big one. Tip number two for making marketing your book, or I would say your brand, because I have some clients that they just want to build their brand. And so they work with me. And so this is for your brand or your book. Tip number two to make marketing fun and easy is this is going to be a harsh truth. Nobody pays for a train wreck. And what I mean by that is Mindy Kaling calls it the season of catharsisism. And that's where some of us feel that we need to show up and be narcissistic and cathartic, that we need to share everything on social media. And I would say to that quote, I would use the quote by Nadia Boltz-Weber, which is teach from your wounds, not from your scars. So have a strong support system, whether that's your lover, your friends, your parents, sister, whatever that is, pay for a coach, go to therapy, have a support system. Don't make your clients or those following you your support system, where you show up from your wounds on social media and not your scars. Yes, be vulnerable, but know that if you're asking for a monetary exchange, if you're in the transformational life coaching world, especially, know that if someone sees me constantly whining and constantly crying, constantly in a place of drama on my reels or on my posts, not taking radical responsibility for my life, if they see me doing that too often, not saying you can never do it, because there have been times of grief where I have shared I lost someone, my most favorite person in my family, crossed over January 2020. And there was one post I did that was about laying on the kitchen floor eating cake and crying. And it was beautiful writing. I'm going to brag on myself. It was prose. It was this insane style I'd never played with, but it isn't wanted to come out. And I didn't share it at first because I was like, this people are going to think I'm weak. People are going to think I'm whiny. And I did it, but I didn't do it all the time. And the reason is when people are seeking to give a monetary value exchange to learn from a trusted guide in the trenches. They want to pay someone who is doing the deep work themselves to find healing. So if I'm not doing that, they're going to scroll away to a coach that while he or she, that other coach might be vulnerable, they are teaching from their scars vulnerably and not from their wounds. And that might be different than what other marketing coaches teach, but that is one personal philosophy that I carry is that no one pays for a train wreck. This is tip number two.
I think people want to see someone on the other side who's relatable, but they don't want to feel like they needed to counsel you.
Like, well said.
They want to feel like you're similar or you share similar experiences. They don't want to feel like, you know, when I watch you, you bring up too much for me.
Yeah.
What you were saying has reminded me of a conversation we had with a previous guest, Heather Briggs of Radiate Real. I don't remember if she said it in the episode or if it's just a conversation she and I had before, but she was talking about your clients should be the people who are maybe a couple years, who are like one stage behind you, and your coaches should be the people who are one stage ahead of you.
That's good.
And so that's where that kind of like, you should definitely be showing up authentically, but remembering that you should be presenting yourself to your clients as I've come through to the next stage and I'm not perfect and I haven't finished my journey, but I'm one step ahead of you and I'm happy to bring you along with me, get you to that same stage. And that's just what that came to mind. Cause we're very much about showing up authentically and unapologetically, but that can often get confused with, you know, warts and all kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And it's just understanding there's a place and
boundaries.
Exactly. And also the whole thing about, it's not about you and your marketing, right?
Yeah.
Hear your experiences to the point that they're going to benefit your ideal client. If they're not going to be of a benefit to your ideal client, then that's maybe something to keep personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been interesting to go from, this is similarly related. It's been interesting to be a woman in ministry as a minister. And I used to, because of my own wounds and limiting beliefs, I would always preach in a sports bra. I basically have the same body type as Jessica Simpson. So very curvy and very short. And I would keep my hair short. I would wear scarves. I would do anything to hide my femininity. Did I say that right? Femininity.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, which was my own woundings that I got to heal. And then to move over the past 4 years to professional content creator, and notice some women in the game, it's so interesting. There's some that I follow there's one that notoriously likes to wear lingerie and talk about sales funnels in a bed where there's mountains of money, mountains of dollar bills. And she's all sexy with the money and making love with the money and talking about how you feel sexual pleasure is the same way that you will feel with money, like align those together to increase either one. And when I saw that, I was like, and I started noticing it in other women, female coaches, and I got to check in and I was like, okay, that's what wants to come through them. That's their expression. There's probably an ideal market for that. Is that a win for me and my people I serve and for my brand, my personal brand? It's like, no, that's not a win for me. It doesn't feel in alignment for my personal brand. Can I not judge them for wanting to do that? Can I just observe and let it and not condemn them for making love with money on their bed and making that part of their marketing plan? It's like, yeah, I don't have to judge them. I can just observe that it's exciting. And also it's interesting to see how marketing has changed in social media. And for me, going from the religious nonprofit sector for half my life to now entrepreneurship, where they're really, if it's your personal brand, you get to, it's your queendom, it's your empire. You get to make the rules and the systems for your bookkeeping, for your onboarding process, for your clients. It's your rule. So if that coach wants to be in lingerie and make love with money, dollar bills, she can do it. And she has a lot of followers. She must be serving people well. But it's been interesting to sit in and check whenever I want to post something, like you just said, is this going to serve my clients? While honoring what wants to come through me, because as a personal brand, they get all of you, they get your quirks, they get your favorite music on your reels, you know? So it's interesting time. And I know there's a deeper question there that we won't get into. And I think it boils down to honoring that which wants to come through you, because you are a creator, and also because you're serving clients, checking in, will this serve my clients?
Yeah. So I'd love to know what your
yes, thank you.
Okay, so now, yeah, because
tip number three, yeah. Yes. So thank you for keeping me on track. Tip number three is to, regardless of your personality, regardless if you're animated and spontaneous and you're an artist, regardless if you're an Aries, whatever story you want to tell yourself, listener out there, not you too, whatever you want to tell yourself, stick to a flipping plan. So have a content calendar of sorts. And I love teaching my clients 12 to 16 types of posts that keep the lettuce fresh in their marketing, and make, regardless of the platform you're on, the principles. It keeps the lettuce fresh. It lets your audience member know them, that you are a trusted guide from the trenches. You respect them. You care for them, and your product is going to give them not only what they want, but exactly what they need. So stick to the plan. There is this tendency I've seen to where we use excuses. We subconsciously are more committed to our reasons than our results. And we use excuses like the ones I just gave to where I can't, it's just stifles my creativity. And what I say to that is that if you want to be sustainable in running your business, there needs to be a plan. So where you always know what you're posting and
have a plan,
basically. Yeah. Yep.
We couldn't agree with that more, actually, because we really emphasize to our clients that, you know, you need to outline what your business goals are. And when you know what your business goals are, then you can create your content plan around that. And it's really in terms of helping you guide the journey that you want to take, and then outlining and reviewing that process. Because when you know, there's hiccups along the way, there always will be, but you can look back and go, okay, so what happened here? How can I change that? Did I have the right ideal client? Was I posting the right information? So it's a way for that business owner to really know, you know, what worked, what didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No content for content's sake. Always come back to what do I want to get out of my marketing, and how does this get me one step closer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a method to the madness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you teach that. That's so helpful. And it's you provide your clients with riverbanks, and then they can show up and play in the river. But those riverbanks are put up with that, the goals and the things you listed.
Yeah.
That's so good. So good. And when those riverbanks are there, the self-doubt, it quietens. There's less adrenaline and cortisol to the brain that are freaking you out and reminding you all the reasons you can't do it, because you have a plan and you can rest in that plan. I love that.
Well, this has been such a fascinating conversation. I hadn't entertained the idea of writing a book for marketing purposes up until meeting you, Meg. So I want to thank you for coming. I think we could talk about this for hours. What I would love is what is your final word of thought of the day, or if our listeners could leave with one takeaway, what would that be?
I will quote Rumi. And the quote from Rumi that I want to quote is, "That which you seek is also seeking you." So whatever that business goal or relationship goal or goal for yourself is, know that it is with the same passion, it is also seeking you back, that it and that you are worthy of it.
That's a powerful message. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really great reminder for any person, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome.
So for our listeners out there, obviously we're going to have your contact info in the show notes, but how can they get in touch? How can they work with you? Like if they want more Meg, how do they?
Yeah. I'd love to follow them. I'd love to follow them. So please have them email me. Just kidding. No, they can follow me at Hey Meg Calvin on Instagram, Meg Calvin on Facebook, Meg Calvin on TikTok. And then if you go to megcalvin.com/coaching, there is some testimonial videos of clients and then describes two packages because I offer just marketing, whether that is your brand or your book, just marketing to bestseller status on Amazon, or the whole shebang. All you have is an idea on a napkin. We take you in 7 months. We write it, market, sell it to bestseller on Amazon. So all those packages are described at megcalvin.com/coaching. And yeah, it's a good time. So I'm excited to connect with your listeners that are already being served so well by you.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Meg, for joining us. And we look forward to sharing your wealth of knowledge with our listeners.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed this episode? Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future ones. Want more from Hannah and Nicole? Visit showingupsolo.com to join the Showing Up Solo membership or to inquire about working with us on your business.